This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey and welcome to the Woman's Hour podcast. It's Friday, September the 20th, 2019. This was a fantastic, if I say so myself, Friday programme about the wonderful thing that is dance. Who dances? What do they dance? Who do they dance with? What are they wearing? Why do we do it at all? And yes, it is largely because Strictly is back. The televisual delight that lights up our autumnal and winter evenings. The only downside is I sit there thinking I haven't got any cranberry sauce, and that happens round about the middle of October, and I start to panic because it does. There is no doubt it heralds the onset of the festive season, but we love it anyway, in spite of that. So my guests this morning were the Strictly head judge Shirley Ballas, a professional ballroom dancer Curtis Pritchard. We had Professor of Dance History Teresa Buckland from Roehampton University, Sujata Banerjee, a Kathak artist and educator, and the choreographer Ingrid McKinnon, who teaches jazz, ballet, modern and African dance, and she's currently working with the RSC. And fantastically, we had pianist Joe Stilgo with us as well, who began the programme by really giving us his own version of the Strictly theme. So here we go, and there's additional material at the end. Thank you, Joe. Right, that's Joe Stilgo, who's our fantastic pianist this morning. This is Woman's Hour. It's Friday morning. We are just celebrating dance. The live Strictly shows are back, 7 o'clock, BBC One tomorrow night. And what we'd like from you this morning, actually, is just your dancing pictures, your dancing memories. Bung them all our way, please. Social media, at BBC Woman's Hour, on Twitter and Instagram. You can email the programme via the website. I'd like to know how you started to dance, where you've done your dancing, did you meet your partner at a dance back in the 40s, 50s, last week, whenever it was, let us know. And we have a really brilliant lineup of guests this morning on the programme who all want to share their joy of dance and in dance. Shirley Ballas is here, Strictly's head judge. Great to see you, Shirley.
Thank you.
You are
it's nice to be here.
The queen of Wallasey. And now the queen of Saturday nights, which is a great place to be, isn't it, actually?
Absolutely, I am. I'm stoked. I can't wait for tomorrow to start.
And you're a bit nervous, aren't you?
I am, actually, yeah. Always at the beginning of the series, you know, just hoping that everybody can move along and do the right thing and get a good start, you know. So, yeah, but I'm nervous too. I'm sure everybody is.
Yeah, I got a bit of a tingle when I heard the music there.
Did you?
Well, the plain fact is, this is a high point of many people's year. You can't underestimate this. It's TV gold. The nation genuinely does, across generations, get together on the sofa and watch you Strictly on a Saturday night.
Well, I think by the time we come to August, we already know we're running up to Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, those cold nights where, like you said, the family, the children, boys, girls, mums, dads, grannies and grandpas can all sit round and enjoy this show together. It's a phenomenon. It's just an amazing show.
And dance, of course, is at the heart of it, and learning to dance. And I've already said to our guest today, I can't dance. It went down like a lead balloon, because apparently everybody can dance. Professor of Dance History, Teresa Buckland, is from Roehampton University. Teresa, welcome. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you in a second. Sujata Banerjee is a Kathak artist and educator. Welcome. And you're going to tell us a little bit about your particular form of dance as well, aren't you?
Yes, I will.
How closely associated is it to ballroom, if at all?
It's dance as much as that.
It's a dance, and that's the only link.
That's the only link, I would say, to deal with the bodies and move with the rhythm. And so there is always a connection.
Right, OK. Also here, Ingrid McKinnon, who's a choreographer. Welcome, Ingrid.
Thank you.
Currently working with the RSC.
I am, yes.
Doing what?
I'm working as a movement director for First Encounters Merchant of Venice, which is an adapted version of Merchant of Venice to give young children aged 7 to 13 their first encounter with Shakespeare.
Right, so it's a way in for
kids.
Yes,
yeah.
And movement matters. Even in a production like that, I probably wouldn't associate The Merchant of Venice with movement.
Movement matters in all productions. I think having a movement director on majority of theatre productions really adds value to the physical language of any play, which helps tell the physical story as well as the actual written story.
Right.
Truly, truly valuable.
OK, well, we'll talk more later in the programme. And we've got Curtis Pritchard here, professional ballroom dancer. I have to say, charming.
Yeah.
I mean, you walked in here 3 minutes ago, Curtis. You've got us all in the palm of your hand. I mean, what is it about you, do you think?
First of all, I want to say I feel very privileged to actually be here on
Good.
A woman's hour, you
yes.
know, around a table full of lovely ladies.
See, this is what I mean.
Ladies.
It says all the right things. Yeah.
Well, no, it's fantastic to be here.
Yeah. So sweet.
Thanks. My mother's always told me to say that.
Okay. Mrs. Pritchard knows her business. Right, is that the end?
No, that's not. Yeah, no. So I'm here to talk about dance and everything, and how it's about my life, you know. And dance, how everyone was saying around the table, dance. It's to me, dance is movement. It's movement to music, and it's a way of making your soul, your mind happy, healthy, and your body healthy and happy. It's just expressing your emotions, your freedom, your enjoyment, your love, your sadness, anything through music, and putting a smile on people's face.
Thank you.
You certainly do that this morning.
Shirley Ballas there. at BBC Woman's Hour on Twitter and Instagram. Now, Shirley, because you are the head judge, you were taking it. It's a difficult role, this, and it's particularly difficult, I would suggest, for a woman to take over that role. Because you really, I'm not just buttering you up, but when you came, to me, as a viewer on the sofa, you added value because I felt I learned something from your judgments. But nevertheless, some people, possibly because you're female, they're not sure they like that, are they?
Well, and when I first got the job, I mean, for somebody of 57 to get that job was amazing. I'd done no TV whatsoever before, but I do know my trade. I've been doing it since I was like 5 years
yeah.
old. And I wanted to bring a technical aspect that perhaps the viewers could start to understand a little bit about what we're judging or what I was judging. You know, I didn't want it all flowery and just, oh, I love your dress. I really wanted to try. And I tried with my hands to express what was a heel and what was a toe, what was inside edge of the foot, what was outside edge of the foot. So I was trying to develop little methods that perhaps the audience could identify with. That's my whole thing, is I want to reach those people in the homes, and I want them to understand why I have to send somebody home if you don't vote, and just to generally see things a little bit from the way that I see them. I do try to balance the technical aspect with the energy and the excitement of performing, because that's all important for me, is how you bring that love of music, just like Curtis said, you know, that love, that heart. It's all important. It's not just about the technique. At the end of the day, really, I'm going to say this, the technique really doesn't matter. You need it. It's like a little bit of a guide. But the whole body, the whole process of how you're moving is majorly important.
And did you expect to be criticised a little bit?
I've been criticised all my life. So for me, it was just the normal thing.
But, but your credentials, as you say, are absolutely impeccable.
Thank you.
So there was no reason to criticise you. And yet some people... Is it just that some people don't like to be told things by a woman who knows her business, do you think?
I don't think it's a woman or a man. I think we're in a social media era now, you know, Facebook, Twitter. I'm talking about Twitter.
Well, you're on Twitter.
You know, people just like to criticise other people. Sometimes it's hard for them to see the good or try to understand. They're already attacking or firing at you before you've even opened your mouth.
Mm.
So I just think it's general in all walks of life, in every job. It's not just this job. Yeah. This just happens to be a high-profile job.
There's always chatter around Strictly, and there's always a degree of controversy. There's a lot of froth surrounding it, which people enjoy, of course. But there's been an interesting discussion about same-sex partnerships coming onto the programme, I think, next series. I mean, obviously same-sex couples have been dancing together since humans have existed. But will this be a big televisual first, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think so. I mean, I danced with a little girl partner all my life up until about 12. And then in our industry, in Curtis and mine industry, we have same-sex couples. We have two women that dance together. We have two men that dance together. And for me, when I look at it, I just look at the movement to the music and I look at the expression of two bodies and what they're trying to portray. I don't judge whether it's two men, two women, a man or a woman. If you go onto stage, for example, men have been dancing together since the existence of time, and so have women. So what's so different about that in our industry? So it would be a first. I think it would be very welcoming. And I, for one of them, look forward to seeing how that goes down.
Just technically, in terms of choreography, if we're used to seeing women dancing with men, certain things are possible merely because the men tend to be taller and stronger. So isn't there a difference then when you get, say, two women dancing together?
No difference at all.
Not in terms of what's technically possible?
Not at all, because a heel is a heel and a toe is a toe. And also, I didn't have that tall man. I danced with two men that were 5'6". So, I mean, people come in all shapes and sizes and everybody can dance. And like I say, we have a guide and a technique book. It's a guide, not a gospel. And it shares with you what kind of foot placements you have to make, heels, toes, so it doesn't really make any difference.
At BBC Women's Hour on Twitter, and I should have been prepared for this, but the Morris dancers have been in touch. It's a great way to make fabulous friends, stay fit, have fun and keep your brain active, learning the precision steps required for these dances. Curtis, could your future lie down the line in Morris dancing?
Well, I mean, the future is an unwritten path which nobody knows what's going to happen. But, so we'll just have to wait and see on behalf of that. Dancing is my passion. I love it, all styles of dancing. And there is many styles which I have not yet tried. I would love to try.
There's the diplomatic service could wait for you as well, actually. The sound of things. This listener says, I teach movement and dance to staff working with the under sixes. Dance is a unifying experience. Music is a language we all speak. To understand your body in the truest form and to express your feelings through movement balances you. And from Julia, I started ballet again after 20 years of hating aerobics classes, and I got my grade 8 earlier this year at the age of 41.
Congratulations. That's well done.
Julia,
fantastic.
That must have been really, really hard work. Talking about strange paths that life leads you down, you met your new partner, Shirley, at Jack and the Beanstalk.
I did.
Now, you were playing Mother Nature.
Well, I got that role and I'd never done any actressing. This shows people out there that you really, truly can do whatever you put your mind to, by the way. So Craig suggested I had this go at, you know, panto.
Yeah.
Acting, singing, the dancing part was easy. And so I decided to try it. Now, that was absolutely terrifying, the most terrifying thing I ever did in my whole life, but I gave it a go. And yes, I met Danny Taylor there. He was playing Flesh Creep, the villain, while I was playing Mother Nature, the fairy, who narrated the show.
Flesh Creep and Mother Nature.
Yes, Flesh Creep and Mother Nature.
So did you get together during the production or at the after-show party on the final night?
No, he was coming out of a long-term relationship. He has an 8-year-old son. And we became good friends first, which is always a good thing. When you get older, that's a good thing. And it was about March we got together and we're kind of inseparable. You know, he's just the most amazing person I ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Sounds a keeper. Can he dance?
He can move. He's on stage. He's in Blood Brothers, plays Sammy, puts on Macbeth and everything at the Epstein Theatre in Liverpool. And that production just got taken to Singapore, singer-songwriter. So, yes, he's got some rhythm. Can he ballroom dance? No. So will we be learning from the beginning? Yes, we'll be going to the Starlight Ballroom with Ken and we will be learning the basic steps from the beginning, and I can't think of anything more fun. Yeah. I could teach him, but I don't want to. So everybody out there can move. And try. Go to the local dance studio. I'll be taking him.
Okay, well, I almost believe you. By the way, if you've not seen Blood Brothers, shame on you. Go and see it.
Oh, it's amazing.
My favourite musical. Teresa, you're here really to talk about the history of dance. Why, I mean, big question this, but why do people dance?
It is a big question. But people are wired to dance. It's like we make music we also dance. And that's across the world. And there are different cultures, and they may have very different styles of dancing. And that's the wonderful thing, is that dance comes in myriad forms, just like people do. Mm. And there's a dance form out there for you, whether it's hip-hop or Morris dancing or Kathak or Bharatanatyam. There's something out there for you.
It also is a powerful tool because dancing's been banned.
And we
shouldn't forget it's been banned in England.
Yes. In the Puritan period, of course, dancing was banned. All pleasurable things were banned. But, of course, it's bound up with the body and also with notions of gender as well, so that the idea of people enjoying themselves together might lead to illicit activities. So it's a way of controlling society. And we see it across the world today.
Even today, yeah, the Taliban.
Yes, the Taliban, absolutely.
Band dancing, yeah. I want to bring Jo Stilgoe, our pianist, back in, because Jo is now going to... we are going to ask, and it's a big ask, Sujata Banerjee to tell us a little bit about the history of Kathak in about 2 minutes. But if you can, Sujata.
Okay, sure. Kathak means a storyteller. Literally, the word means storyteller. So through the dance, you tell stories, but the stories are not necessarily always narrative-based. It could be simple rhythms, movement of two little animals, or two different people who has two different personalities. So like stories are also like little concepts also. So it started about 1,000 years back as storytelling art form, when the storytellers would tell the stories about gods and goddesses in their temple courtyard, and other people would come and they will sometimes sing and dance and express, tell the stories. But then gradually they started traveling, and different things, they realized they have to bring in the dance. Then the Mughals came, and they were great patrons for the dance and music and arts and so on. So they started inviting the dancers. And this is in the North India mainly.
Right.
And then dance took a little a stylistic and more sort of stunning part of the dance, like I finish and then somebody say, wow, like great. You know, it's like, so those kind of moments came at that time. And they would have been rewarded straight away with, you know, money or jewels and stuff like that.
And so, women and men danced together, or were they involved in the same dances?
Initially, men danced. The storytellers.
And only men.
Only men. Even my teacher, who is one of the legendary, who's from whose family the dance comes, in their family, women never danced. They all knew everything. Even he learned a great deal, he says, from his mother, but women didn't dance. I don't know why. It sort of grew, but when it came to the Mughal court, then it was mainly the men, and then the women started coming, and that's how it kind of moved on.
For people who genuinely still can't quite get it, I'm going to ask Jo, well, you talk to Jo now and see if you can ask Jo to give a bit of rhythm. Give us a taste of what we're talking about here.
Okay, so if I...
You ready, Jo?
I'm ready. This is my first ever attempt at Kathak on a piano on Woman's Hour.
Keep expectations low, and I think we'll be
right. It's only beat and rhythm. Everything is bound to the beat. So if you give me just four, one, two... Three, four, one. Any tune you can play. Three, four, one, two, three, four. Diggy diggy da, din, ta, dhita dhita da, din. Diggy diggy da, 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 din, dhita, one, dhita, dhita. Tag it again, 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 tag
it again, tag it again, tag it again, tag.
Fantastic, yeah.
And is that something you can learn at any age? Could it be something you could take up?
Yeah,
and do you need to be fit?
No, is that like, you know, I'm trained as a sports scientist, we always say fit for what? If you were running a marathon, your fitness is for it. If you're doing Kathak, it's fitness is for it.
Yes.
You don't need a split.
Speaking of which, Roger tweets to say, I'm 71. Why do I dance? For me, it keeps me young. It's like making love with clothes on. It is...
What a way of explaining it. Yeah.
He says, it's safe to connect and it helps him stay young. Roger, keep dancing. And this is great, actually, from Natalie. I've got the rewarding job of teaching... Oh, it's just... dip down my screen. Hang on, that's live radio for you. This is, you pay your licence fee for this. I'm going to go back to this. Natalie says, I have the rewarding job of teaching dance to people with Parkinson's in Halifax. We all love the class as it connects us and it lifts our spirits. It's so important. Keep that. That sounds fantastic work, Natalie. Keep that up.
Ingrid, it does make a massive difference, because I've actually done it with dementia before.
Yes,
dance
have you?
With dementia. Yeah. And honestly, it's incredible. Like the transformation of the music and the steps. Like that I did it with them and they were in where they were for a reason. And once I started playing the music, I dressed old-fashioned, I played 50s and 60s music.
Yeah.
And when I say danced, it was step to the side, step to side, under the arm. And it brought a lively atmosphere to the whole encounter. They were eating better, sleeping better. They were singing, they remembered all the words to the songs. They picked up the dances like that. It was incredible, yeah.
It does remind me, actually, on Monday's programme, or it might be Tuesday's, but I'm sure they'll tell me in my headphones, we have got a feature on the importance of music and movement for people living with dementia.
Yes.
So that's next week on the programme, because I know it is really important. Ingrid, I want you to do the same, because Sujata set a high standard there, but can you do the same with Joe Stilgo on the piano, and just maybe talk him through a piece of music that you, if you were, because you teach essentially jazz, how would you describe the music, the dance you do teach?
Yeah, my first love is jazz dance.
Right.
Now I like to call it contemporary jazz now, because I like to add a lot of contemporary movement, which is steeped in African contemporary dance, modern dance, ballet, and tap essentially brings the rhythm also from jazz dance initially. So jazz would be my first love. So I'd love if Joe played something jazzy.
Okay, count me in.
A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. So I'll give you something for the dancers out there that are listening.
Go on, yep.
That might be familiar with these steps. We're going to go a step, touch, here we go. A step, touch, step, touch, a kickball change, a kickball change, a step, touch, a step, touch, a kickball change, a step, touch, touch, a pivot, turn, a pose. A 5, 6, 7, and a step, touch, a step, touch, a kickball change, and a da, da. That would be a jazz class.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
I was watching you doing a jazz class on YouTube last night, actually. And frankly, you look as though you're enjoying it as much as they are.
Oh, totally. I have to tone it down.
Really?
Because I wear myself out. But I think that's the whole thing, though, about when you teach people, you love dance, you have a passion for it. And the beauty of delivering and offering that passion to others is such a gift. You know, to be in your body, to have a skill that you've been working, I've been working on this my entire life. I started dancing when I was 3. And it's such a gift to be able to share that with others and bring joy out in their bodies. And it's not, we were talking earlier, it's not necessarily about the coordination or the aesthetic of dance. I mean, that's a completely different conversation, I think. I think everyone, when you think of dance, we think of the Royal Ballet and we think of principal dancers up there in these incredible attitude, arabesque lines on point, hitting extreme, extreme positions. And actually, the essence of dance is in all of us. You just watch a baby move to music. And it's been there in our bodies, in our DNA from when we're born. And I think if we can always remember it and always keep it in our spirit, I think our world would be a better place.
I was fortunate enough a couple of weeks ago to see a Matthew Bourne production of Romeo and Juliet at Sadler's Wells, which, I mean, it's not cheap to go to things like that. I'm conscious of that. This was a production set in a mental institution. It was never made explicitly clear. Mm. I was completely transported. One of the things that it gave me encouragement, frankly, was that not all the bodies on stage looked stereotypically like ballet dancers. And I'm trying very hard not to be in any way offensive here or make a sweeping generalisation. But people looked incredibly fit and clearly immensely able to dance, but they weren't off-puttingly dancer-like. Does any of that make any sense?
It does, and I think there's a lovely shift happening in our dance culture in which the dancers on stage are reflecting the diversity of people in real life.
Good,
and there's a real also push towards health in dance, as opposed to looking a certain way.
And is that much needed, by the way?
It's so much needed, so that dancers have much more longevity now. Dancers are now dancing into their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond because of that push, so it's great.
I'm going to read some great stories that
Beyond
have come in.
For me.
Beyond. Yeah. Keep going, girl. Keep going.
Yes, do not give up. This is from Sylvia. I met my husband in 1973 at a ski club dance. Even though he was in crutches, he'd broken his Achilles tendon. He asked me to dance about, which I was thrilled about because I thought he must love dancing as I do. At the end of the evening, he told me that he'd challenged himself to dance as he wanted to meet me, but he didn't really like dancing at all. He has hardly ever asked me to dance since, but we have been married now for 45 years.
Okay.
Liz is in Geneva, but says, please give a shout out to Scottish country dancing. It's great fun and keeps your brain fit as well as your legs. There's a group in every major city in Europe and all over the world, and it's not just the Scots who do it. Teresa, you looked particularly enthusiastic at that.
Yes, I mean, we have... At the University of Roehampton, we have international students, and the Chinese students have gone to Scottish country dancing and have made really good friends there. Going dancing is such a sociable activity. You meet new ways of moving, new ways of listening, and new ways of relating to people. It's so important to try different forms of dance, I think.
Do you notice people on the fringes of events like that who suddenly find themselves involved in a way they might not have expected? Does that happen? Do people's minds just switch when they realise that actually perhaps if they are like me and regard themselves as somewhat hopeless, that something might just set them off and perhaps they can lose themselves in the music?
Yes, and I think when you see people enjoying themselves, you want to join in and be a part of
you
it.
You want to, but I was trying to explain earlier that I don't think I've ever, and I think this is a generalisation again, possibly, quite a British thing. I can never totally lose myself in it because I'm thinking, self-consciously, that everybody's looking at me. They're not, are they?
No, and there's a long...
Unfortunately.
The reason, there is a reason why... But there is a historical reason why you should feel like that. Because the British prided themselves, particularly in the 19th century, on containing all their emotions, and the men especially, that the idea that you mustn't make an exhibition of yourself. And unless you were good at something, you didn't put yourself out there on the dance floor, because men hated being ridiculed, you see. So that sort of seeped in from the upper classes into the grammar schools, and it's been quite pervasive. And it's affected women as well, I have to say, this idea that you contain yourself, you don't make an exhibition of yourself. I have to say that that is a generational thing.
Okay.
Sorry, Jane.
No.
Because
thanks,
it's all
much.
Changing. I know, from the same. So... It's changing now because I think, and especially with the introduction of a lot of African source dancing, where we see some superb dancers, and when it's tied to popular music as well, I think there's a big shift now about men dancing and the shame that used to be attached to, you know, certainly my father's generation, and indeed my own generation, the fear of dancing and being made to look stupid.
Yeah, oh, heaven forbid. Natalie says, I've got an all-female Kaylee band called the Bow Dillies. The fun, the laughter and the connection people share at a Kaylee is unbeatable. And Joe says, I met my husband at salsa lessons. 2 years later, we got married. 13 years on, we've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. When I was pregnant with my first child, when I used to walk up to the steps to the salsa lessons, she used to start kicking in time to the beats in the music. I remember actually my eldest daughter reacted violently and with extreme pleasure to Mamma Mia long before she was actually born. But I went to the stage show and she went berserk with what I think was genuine enjoyment. The whole business of, what was the line that Ginger Rogers said? She did everything that Fred Astaire did.
Backwards in heels.
Surely. Yeah. Now that, is that still the case that more is required of the female partner in a dance?
Well, competitive dancers for sure wear the high heels, 3 inch, 3.5 inches sometimes. And you do have to adjust your balance, and it is harder than dancing in a flat shoe. I mean, take that over to you, Curtis. What's your feeling?
No, that is very true. I do agree with that. And I've actually done a show called Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Yeah. So I've danced in 6 inch heels before and danced in flat shoes.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
It makes a massive difference, it does.
You're telling me.
So I do have a lot of respect for the women dancers because they do have to mould their body and shape, and they have to have extreme strength and conditioning throughout the whole body to maintain that position for a long period.
Now, to interrupt you there, but if you go to the ladies on Strictly, for example, most of those ladies have never, ever worn a heel that high and had to move in a short space
of
time.
It's a colossal undertaking.
Oh, blisters on their feet, sore feet, it throws your weight in a different position, you get backache, all sorts of pains until you get used to these shoes. It's quite interesting, really, isn't it, the ladies' Latin shoe?
I'm trying to think back over the years of Strictly and who's won, whether they've been females or males. I actually can't remember what the...
Well, you've had both males and females.
But I just wonder who... because genuinely, when you think about it, it is a bigger ask of the female celebrities. There is no doubt about it.
Well, I think the men have a little hard work here and there, but they're just guiding and leading, you know. But the ladies, they have to twist, turn, spin, jump, all sorts of things in these heels. So I'd say it's a little bit more difficult for the women. I don't know how you feel, Curtis.
I'm sat around a table of women.
You're not going to disagree.
I'm going to agree. I do think obviously
different roles. Absolutely. The men's role is also difficult.
Yeah, because the men, we do have to, and for somebody that's never danced before, we do have to lead the woman and supposedly try and keep that frame, and we have to support the woman. I always got told a man's job is to make the woman look good whilst dancing. That's our job a little bit, to show the lady off, and she can do all of the intricate movements and all of the, like you said, spins, the lifts, get thrown around, the back bends, and the men can stand there a little bit more. So I am going to agree with you, and it is a little bit harder for the
women. Don't
do
too much standing around on Strictly Men, that's all I'm saying.
Standing around. Salt, notices. Just a quick word from Sujata on Katak. Flat shoes? Is it flat shoes for everybody?
Bare feet.
Most natural. Right. Okay.
This is, you know, like the rhythm I was chanting out. All the sounds has to come out through your feet. The sound, the stamping of the feet. Sometimes the whole sole of the foot and or the side or the heels or a combination tapping and the heel and the side and how you hear the sound and how you interpret it through using the feet and how you're controlling it. It's bare feet and very technical feet and really very aware of each part of the foot. Like if I place my toe in this way, what sound? Because we also wear ankle bells.
Wow.
Like several.
Yeah, several ankle bells. Right. But the idea of doing it in heels would be... It's unthinkable.
No.
Do you know, it's an interesting statistic in our industry. There's been many, many ladies from way back when that have all had knee surgeries. Yeah. And I wonder whether that's to do with the fact that it started some people way back with Lorraine and Laird. Used to be 4-inch heels, then it went to 3-inch heels, 3.5-inch heels. Just wonder whether that had something to do with the fact that your knees... In your industry, do people have bad knees when they get older?
I think the bad knees everybody has is badly designed knees anyway. But the knees, the impact is there. But because the natural stance, and then if you're bare feet and you're stamping, it's slightly less stress on the knee. But I can imagine if you're going up on your toes and is the body weight shifted more to the front, so the knee has the full... pressure of the weight, and so definitely the heels would have, I would say, something to do with the knee pain, and unless the big cooling down happening or properly conditioned particularly for that kind of work. So
Curtis, you're about to get the opportunity of a lifetime.
I'm very interested right now. I've had a lot of them recently, actually.
But this is going to be... Because I want you to attempt to teach me to do a couple of extremely simple dance steps.
Absolutely.
all health and safety has been taken care of here. We've got a sensible surface. I'm not in the most sensible of shoes, but they're not my highest either. And I'm going to hand over to everybody else while I slip over with you to the mat.
Basic cha-cha.
Oh, it just couldn't be any more basic. It's got to be the most basic.
It will be very basic. Don't you worry at all.
All right, let's go over there, Shirley. I would like you to slip into commentator mode if that's all right. Okay. But anybody else can also interject with their own words of wisdom. Okay. Right.
Well, I'll give you words of wisdom now. Make sure you enjoy it with that young man. Every second of it, darling.
Coat's coming off now.
How tall are you, Curtis?
His jacket's going off now.
6'3". Okay.
6'3". He's almost touching his head on the ceiling. There we go.
Right.
Basics for New York.
Four basics and four New Yorks is about what he's going
to
dance.
What we're about to do, I'm going to show the lady steps and then I will dance with you. So what we are going to start with is moving backwards on the right leg. So we're just going to go,
So Curtis is showing this young lady
how to
transfer her weight.
He's doing it very well.
Right leg comes in, we just take the step backwards.
Take a step back on his right foot.
Dropping the heel down. Now we replace the weight forward.
Now he's going to replace the weight all the way forward onto his left foot.
Bringing our right foot together. Now we're going to go side, close, side to the
and
right.
It's just basic now, steps.
Side step to the right on his right foot.
So if we just go backwards on
She's
your
She's having a little
right
go
leg.
Now, so...
Back, replace back weight right. forward.
A little go.
And now we're just going to go side, close, side. So right leg to the side.
Side.
Close.
Together.
Yeah.
Side Stop. And she just Perfect. Completed that beautifully.
And now you're going to take this leg forwards.
Yeah. Now she's going to
position. We're just going to.
She's going to go forward now on her left.
And now we're going to replace
back on her right.
Ooh. And now we're going to go the
three
opposite
small
way.
Steps side, to the side to complete side. The cha-cha-cha. Yeah.
I close, honestly think I'm a long way from perfection here.
No, darling, you're not. Give it a go, darling. Give it a go.
So in hold. So I'm going to place my hand here on you.
So he's just got this lovely hold, left to right hand hold. So the man's left arm, lady's right hand. He's put his right arm around her body and
yes,
she's placed
in,
her left
Curtis.
Arm beautifully on his shoulder.
Maybe not music just yet.
One go without music.
They're going to have one go without music here, so she looks a little nervous. The head is a little bit tilted there. She needs to put that posture a little
close,
bit.
Side forward.
Oh, but she completed the step. Two, never use the same foot twice, darling.
Think of dancing as like walking. It literally is. Walking. Left, right, left, right, left.
Always change weight. Right, one foot left, to the other.
For the sake of the nation's sanity, let's go to the music.
Yeah. We're going to go to the music now, and she's feeling very brave as we get to this stage of the game.
I'm going to come a little bit closer.
He's got her snuggled in his arms.
Slightly to this.
Twisted her body to the left.
Yeah.
And here we go, darling.
Quite passionate in that embrace.
Two, three, four, and one, two.
I think balance is playing a part here.
One, two, three, and cha-cha. One, two, and three, and cha-cha. One, forward step, cha-cha. One, and two, and three, and cha-cha. We've got some body parts that are moving that I'm not familiar with.
Not far off at all.
She had to go. We're going to give her a round of applause for that.
Thank you.
I think her favourite part was being in his arms, but there you go.
You're right now, Shirley. How do you get upper arms like that?
So if we just had about five more minutes, you would have had that perfectly.
I think
I
that's
promise
five
you.
More years. Yes. And I'm
all, honestly.
Let's have an appreciation now for those people on Strictly that only have about 3 or 4 days to get a whole dance or two dances together to put out to the general public, a 15 million audience, every Saturday evening. Glitz, glamour, choreography.
A lot.
The lot.
Dancers and athletes.
And do you watch, as you watch them, change their attitude, but their bodies change as well, don't they?
Well, some of them start out exactly how you started this morning.
Nobody
no,
would be as useless as
honestly,
that.
Absolutely, I've seen it. They start out like that, and by day two, like you said, that's just in a few seconds. You have a few more minutes, and then you have 6 hours in a day, or 12 hours, or however long you rehearse. By the end of the week, you'll be surprised what the body can do. You really can.
It's just moulding their muscles.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm actually quite tired after doing that.
I'm putting a name forward for Strictly.
No,
KBBC.
No, there is a limit to what I could endure. Do you think, Ingrid, that programmes like Strictly have actually changed the nation's attitude to dance?
Because I think definitely.
It
definitely.
Has,
definitely, for the positive. I think it helps dispel the myth. You know, I think we see people start from the beginning, like as you were just now, who possibly have had no experience. And then we see the growth and development, and we see that actually with a little bit of hard work, with the right guidance and the right teacher and the right inspiration and positive environment, you can be moving and dancing and living your best life.
Yeah.
You know. It's on
the
stage.
Wanting.
Yeah. Yeah. Being too nervous, you know, plucking up that courage to get out there and think, okay, let me try this.
No, I mean, I know Annika Rice. I've interviewed Annika Rice, and she is nervous. I mean, and she's every reason to be nervous,
absolutely,
hasn't she? But what a fantastic challenge. And I know particularly a lot of women around that age, as I am, will be rooting for her because we want to see someone who is going on that dancing journey. God, yeah. Bloody, I'm sounding like I am on Strictly. I need to be a but the shoe, you've totally put me off with the 3.5-inch heels. There is just the no
way. We can always
way.
Put you in flats, darling. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Variation versatile. We can move around it, yeah.
Okay, thank you. You are very reassuring, Curtis. Did you, actually, you started dancing when you were on the whirl? Was that
right? I did.
Right?
I was seven years old for ballroom and Latin, but two when I did ballet and tap.
Right.
Because my mother said I just didn't stand still. The music could go on, and so she thought, what shall I put her in? So she put me in ballet and tap.
Yeah.
Like you said, from a very small age, when the baby comes out the womb, you put music on, it's moving all its little limbs, and you know, it's there. It is there.
Yeah. And what about you, Sujata? Do you remember do you consciously remember the first time you danced or even heard music that made you want to dance?
I don't think I was a baby like this, was ready to dance right from the beginning. I was more active and climbing trees and stuff like that. I grew up in India. We lived in a very beautiful place where there are lots of trees, and I found that very interesting, finding a way of climbing to the top branch and so on. Mm. But my mother thought, for the similar reason, that she has a lot of energy and she's very brave, she thought, and put her in dancing. So so she did. So I was like about 6 years old.
Right.
When I started dancing.
And Curtis, I know that your family is absolutely steeped in ballroom, isn't it? Your dad was a judge, was he?
My dad was a ex-champion in his time, and then he went on to judging and then had kids, me and AJ, and we were always around the dancing.
Yeah.
So we were always involved in it and loved to watch. I mean, we spent his money in the arcades at Blackpool when we were about four. It wasn't so much watching the dancing, but we were around the environment, and then we decided to give it a go and just fell in love with it, really.
So there was never any pressure on you not to dance, but let's be honest,
no.
A lot of lads grow up in households where an interest in dance would be completely wrongly, by the way, but would be frowned upon.
Originally dad didn't want us to dance, actually, because he knew that it would sort of ruin his career a little bit, because
he can't judge when you're dancing.
Yes. So therefore it puts him out of work.
To be fair,
pretty
I can
much
see his
yeah
point.
But they put all of their money into me and AJ. But yeah, I understand there's a lot of places and households and schools which don't really focus on dancing, and I think dancing, well, for me, I can only speak for myself, dancing taught me so much respect. It taught me how to treat not just a woman, how to treat people in general. I had to take on a lot of skills and a lot of time out of school, a lot of time out of the public life and stuff, and I had to focus and dedicate myself, and I had to really want what I wanted, and it taught me a lot of respect on how to lead a lady into the room, and that can be the same as leading a man into the room, but it's all about respecting your partner, leading your partner, showing her or him in the direction. So it teaches you that aspect of respect and equality.
But, I mean, equally, there is no way that you've got to be super fit. You can't do this half-heartedly.
You build that.
No,
you build it.
Fitness comes
it's a built
in
thing.
Time.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Sujata, go on. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying that over the time it happens, you get fit for whatever you are doing, and you realize that if you had a long holiday or whatever, you're a little out of breath in something, you realize, oh my God, I have to start doing something about it. So that's your work, right? So that this is your work, doesn't matter where you go, like, you want to deliver what you are, how you are used to.
Yeah. Okay, and deliver is the word, isn't it? Deliver.
Yeah, then also you set your own expectation and said, this is how I do it. And then I have to be fit enough to be able to do that. If I'm not, then, I mean, if something happens that's beyond my control, that's a different thing. Otherwise, it's like, I have to, like, either I do it the way I like it.
Of
that's
course.
I'd like to, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to get very fit after the summer.
Yes, well, we all feel a bit like that. Teresa, quick word from you.
But let's not forget the recreational dancer.
Yes, sure.
The once a week, just going and enjoying all the, you know, dancing at a wedding or a birthday party, you're still a dancer.
Yeah. Or just being me in the kitchen with my 70s disco classic playlist.
Oh, yeah.
That's we are all done. Glass of Carver down, and then I'll be
bit
there.
Bit of ABBA.
Yvonne Elliman is my go-to. If I can't have you, Oh. No, well, you must know. Everybody must know that.
Yes, indeed.
Saturday Night Fever.
Nobody,
thank you. That's it. Okay.
Everyone can do it.
Well, perhaps, actually, we'll go out on that. Can you play that, please, Jo?
Oh, why don't you...
Sorry, Yvonne Elliman, if I can't have you, and then we'll all have a dance.
Yay!
Can we do a little hustle? I've been doing that with my actors at the RSC.
Okay, the hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, just that. Just a...
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, Jo. My next hen night, that was. Well, that was how the live programme ended this morning. I've got to say, thanks to everybody who was tweeting along with their own dance stories, and a lot of people just saying how nice it was to have a positive edition of the programme. And I present the programme. I do understand what you mean. It is brilliant when we can just talk about things that are very much a part of all our lives, but really just cheer you up a little bit. Emma says, my partner Jez and I entered Ultra Ballroom for cancer research, having never danced before. We had 8 weeks of lessons to learn the waltz, then performed at the Grand Hotel in Brighton to a big audience. It was the most amazing experience, nerve-wracking, but so much fun. Maggie says, dance is for everyone. Age, competence, abilities are irrelevant. It's social glue and a shortcut to happiness. You don't stop dancing because you grow old. You grow old because...
You stop dancing.
That's it. Martha said, I had so much fun learning how to do Vogue dancing with hashtag JJ Vernon at the South Bank Centre last Saturday. My arms were sore the following day, though. Eric, this time last year, Curtis brought his company to the Life Rooms in Liverpool because he wanted to raise people's confidence through dance. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've now improved my self-esteem, says Eric, and I've gone back to the Jive because of him.
Oh, no.
That is fantastic. There is a real... I mean, you mentioned your work with people who have dementia.
Yes,
somebody tweeted in to talk about working with people with Parkinson's. There's a gap in the market, it's a massive thing.
It truly is. Yeah. And when I did it, honestly, because you're always constantly working your brain, you've got positive endorphins flowing, you're moving, you're learning a new skill, and it's just something that our hearts love to do, listen to music, move and dance and express ourselves.
Claire says, I teach Lindy Hop. When teaching, we make a real effort to talk in terms of leads and followers rather than gender, and that makes it more inclusive. Rachel, this is interesting. I'm trying to persuade my 12-year-old son to go to a street dance class at school. He is very self-conscious, and also I think there is still a sense amongst his male peers that dancing is a girl's activity. That is so infuriating. Because your son does he dance?
Yeah. He trained at the Italia Conti School of Dramatic Arts from age 4 years old. That does everything, you know, on Broadway now, and, you know, amazing. Every little boy should do it. It's for everybody.
Of course.
I've got to say, I mean, I grew up in Crosby in Liverpool, so not far from the Wirral. Football overshadows everything. Is it not slightly harder in places like that for young lads in particular to say, no, I want to dance?
I think it's just making it more aware and, you know, people being more accepting. Mm. I do think it is. I mean, when I danced, it was all little girls. You'd be lucky if you got one little boy in the class. It has improved over the years. But I'd still encourage it at any level. But it's like you say, it's the bullying, it's going to school and people thinking it's a girl's sport when it's not.
No, and never has been.
And it is the funnest thing they'll ever do.
And it's incredible,
for sure.
And for anyone that does dance and is listening to this, that is younger or anything, or the parents, like, tell them, be yourself. If you want to do it, do it. You know, don't listen to what anyone else says. School is only a small part of your life. And it may be very important at the moment that you're in there, but if you can stay true to yourself and be happy with who you are and what you do, and if that is dance, if it's football, if it's rugby, whatever it is, do it, and it will pay off in the long run, and you will come off a much better person than anyone that's ever put doubt on you.
and Joe Stilgo is our pianist. And you, how did you get into music and dance? Was it always?
I grew up watching all those old films from my grandparents and my parents. So all the, you know, from MGM movies, those musicals. Gene Kelly seemed like the ultimate hero for me. Not only, I mean, I loved sport growing up because he was that mixture. He was a great athlete, plus the most incredible mover. And I loved the way he used music. So when I went into jazz, really, it was as much because I took such joy out of music and passion. But I also wanted to get people to dance. So often at my shows, people are dancing, or if they're in a, you know, if they're in a theatre, they come up to me afterwards and say, "I'm so frustrated, I couldn't get up and dance." Mm. So I love that when, you know, when it's that mixture of music that people can listen to, but also encourages dance. And I love watching Strictly, and I've loved being on this show so much because it's, you know, it's such a passion of mine. I did a London Jazz Festival show a couple of years ago, tribute to Gene Kelly, where we had the guy who wrote the biography. Have about you, Gene, loads of stories.
Could you give us a bit of Gene Kelly-esque music?
Love it. So I've just started tap lessons as well.
Yay. Have you?
Yeah. Wow.
And?
It's okay. I mean, I don't have enough time to do it, so I've got two young daughters, but... as you said, Curtis, it's such, you know, it's so much fun. If I could do that, you know, if someone said, come and do learn tap, all you do for 3 months. Because already, you know, with a great teacher, and I've got a great teacher, yeah, the improvements you make are incredible. And you'll find that, Jane, if you
yes.
You've only done it 5 minutes.
My dance journey has just begun. And who knows where it's going to end. I don't know what... the health benefits are obvious, but also I've got to say, when you're older, I've started doing Pilates. Whilst Pilates is wonderful, I know Ingrid, you teach Pilates.
I do, yes.
I've actually got aches and pains I now get from doing Pilates.
So it's just muscles being awakened. That
you're telling me some of mine have been asleep very long time. So it's just that, is it?
It's just that. I mean, it's just there's muscles in your body that lay dormant when you don't use them, and as you get older, they lay more and more dormant. And then when you bring them back to life, there's a bit of
a protest.
Exactly. Great way to put it. A bit of a protest. And I think that the benefits to your health, the benefits to your mental well-being as well, are numerous if we just get our bodies moving.
This is where I suppose that's why so many of us were rooting for Debbie McGee on Strictly, because
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, it was incredible. But I don't want to sound patronising by saying that. She's not much older than I am. But I thought it was a shame she didn't win. So can an older person ever actually win?
I'd like to believe so. You know, I think, the audience, the public, they vote. We put in our 10 cents worth in so that people can get an idea of what's going on. But she was an exception to the rule. Mm. She was so dedicated. Mm. She wanted to go out every week. You know, it's a bit like yourself. If you want to do it, you will learn how to do it if you want to. But if you keep telling yourself you can't, you won't.
The voting is interesting, isn't it? Because I'm always interested in who's got the fan base and who hasn't.
Well, when Aston went out in Series 1, it was week 4, I think, and he went out, I had to send somebody home. He didn't do a very good Viennese waltz, and I saved AJ instead of Aston and his partner, AJ's partner, and because of the dancing. But if the public would have voted, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. So although that Twitter blew up and it was front page news, it still was not my problem.
No,
you put them in the bottom too. I have to choose the best dancer.
I wonder whether the public still get that, actually.
Mm. Oh, I keep saying it every time. Yeah. Make sure you vote. Don't just sit there and critique it and then get on Twitter and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about and how could you do that? I can, because you put them in the bottom too and I have to pick the best dancer.
Yeah, based on their performance in
such
the dancing.
This series is going to be more difficult than ever, because I've got a feeling that the running field is all of a similar level. It's all going to be quite similar, I think. So,
have you seen James Cracknell dance yet?
We saw them when they did their little formation. Yeah. So
you've seen that. I mean, I meant with his partner. You can't tell me.
Well,
can you?
Put it this way: it's going to be very, very exciting, unpredictable. It's going to be a series of all series to watch.
I think it's going to be a high standard this year.
High standard, yes, for sure. Standard, you have to vote. I will be sending great dancers home early. That's all I can say.
Oh, that is okay. Yeah, that's well. I was going to watch anyway, and now I'm definitely going to watch. thank you all so much for being with us this morning. We've just really enjoyed it, and you've all been fantastic and really contributed. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Have a fantastic weekend. Keep dancing, obviously.
Hey there, it's Janae Desmond Harris, aka Dear Prudence. And I want you to tell me about all your problems. Each week on Slate's Dear Prudence podcast, I'm here to tackle your questions about relationships, sex, work, family, and beyond, all with the help of an expert guest. We'll help you navigate it all, whether you're a teen dealing with parents, an adult looking to spice up your sex life, or you just need some validation that you're not losing it. We're here to listen and to offer some guidance. Need help? Just ask Prudy. New episodes every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.